Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. This episode, we talk about the RTX 40 series super launch and look back on the sordid history of this generation. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McKay. Last month, we had a pretty amazing long podcast show. We hope you checked it out. But that was all about CES.
Yes.
But something else happened in January that really probably should have got our headlines aside from just talking about stuff that, you know, we saw at CES.
Very hot. Very hot.
That was the new RTX 40 series from NVIDIA, the Super Editions.
Woo!
And not the TIs or the TIs or whatever they are. These are super.
So super.
And Super TI as well. But we have a card here from Gigabyte, and I thought maybe we'd do another virtual unboxing because those are so popular.
All right.
And this is radio, so you'll have to use your imagination ears.
So I'm going. So I'm looking at the box. It's got a like a giant eyeball, which is good. And we've talked about this before, but
that's the RSI.
How am I finding myself missing the huge animated robots and girls? I don't know.
They really need to bring those back, I think.
Maybe it's...
Or more military theme stuff. Oh. Although I guess maybe that doesn't go over well with
Jensen. Oh, that's a good point. Okay, so... All right.
So the
first things first, it's heavy.
It's not. Oh, I should bring out the 4070. We'll do that in a moment.
Okay.
But you can compare the weight between the two and you'll realize that that's really not very heavy at all.
Okay. So first thing I notice is, it's a Gigabyte. So this is not a base model for them.
It's the WinForce. It's overclocked. Mm-hmm. It has a custom PCB.
That's what I was going for.
But it's still the short PCB. So it's not the big long one like what we would normally expect from a hot clocked card.
Right. And it's not as wide as I expected either. This is, a little over two slots, 2.5?
I want to say it's 2.5, but they probably call it 2.25. Mm-hmm. But it's a triple fanned wind force or wind something tunnel cooler.
Yeah, I think wind force is right.
Yeah, it's force cooler.
I'm a big fan of Gigabyte products in general. I've had a lot of Gigabyte video cards in my time.
Mm-hmm. We've tested several of them on the Hardware Asylum website. I can link a couple of them down below, but they've all had the triple fanned wind force cooler. And the nice thing about this cooler, and something that I find nice, is that the two outer fans rotate in the normal direction.
Right.
The center fan rotates in the opposite direction. So what happens is when you get the fans spinning in opposite directions, they cancel each other out, so you don't get as much fan noise off of it.
Clever.
I don't think it's noticeable, but as I was testing this card, it made really no noise unless I ramped up the fans on purpose. So it works really well, and partially is because that cooler is freaking huge.
Well, we haven't talked about this in quite a while, but I noticed that the fans, at least in this edition, are not as deep as they used to be. So you got really a lot more heat sink, and the fans themselves are smaller and more efficient. They've got a much more efficient shape to them.
Yes, and that is something that Gigabyte has been doing off and on. Depends on what card you get. But the fans are low profile. They do have some texture on them that's supposed to help with airflow and noise control. But you are right. The fans low profile to give you more heatsink space. And as you know, the more surface area you have on your heatsink, the more efficient it can be.
Excellent. And I think I'm counting 3 heat pipes in the front and 4 in the back.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Although I think it's still a 4 heat pipe cooler. They split in the middle. One of them curls underneath. That's why you can't see it.
Oh, so it is 4 on both sides. Excellent. Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Some other things to call out on this card is that we have the new 12-volt high power connector.
Oh, yeah.
On the top. So it's it comes with a dongle in case your power supply doesn't support that. But if it does, then you get more power control over the VRM with those small little pins.
Feel like we should talk about that a little bit because if I'm not mistaken, the 4X series, I'm going to set this down before I heard it. Mm-hmm. The 4X series had a lot of controversy about the new style plug.
Actually, that goes all the way back to the 30 series.
Oh, okay.
So on some of the higher end 30 series cars, they had the 12 volt high power plug, which has more pins and some control pins in there. I didn't have a power supply that supported it at the time. It was a brand new connector. So they always included a dongle that would allow you to plug in your standard 8-pin PCI Express power to run into the much smaller connector to go into the card. The news, a lot of us enthusiasts out there have been talking about the burning of the sockets. And that is partially due to the 4090s and how much power those cards consume. And there's a controversy on whether or not it's a problem with the card, whether or not it's a problem with the connector, or whether or not it's a problem with the person sitting in the chair installing these things.
And there may be a mix of those things, I'm afraid. That's just the way that seems to work.
Well, and at CES, we saw a couple of companies that were trying to solve the problem. And the one that I found that was best was from Be Quiet, and they have a 90-degree connector, because one of the challenges was that the plug, the 12-volt high-power plug, you can't bend it because it will pull the pins out of the socket, and it's really rigid right there. So what happens is that you plug it in, and it's, if you have a vertical GPU mounting, the wire goes straight up, and you can't do anything about it. So it's really kind of ugly. The Be Quiet connector goes 90 degrees, and they had it shielded so that you have the pins in the socket, goes into a plastic piece that makes the 90-degree turn, and then goes into a flexible wire so that you can route it properly.
Nice.
And some of the other manufacturers were doing ones that were different colors so you could tell if it was plugged in all the way, because they felt that the problem isn't really the connector, is that people aren't plugging them in all the way.
Oh, like, that's interesting. They should lock it down.
Yeah, well, the idea there is that as you are routing the cable and bending it where you're not supposed to bend it, it's pulling it out of the socket. So by changing the color, then you can tell, oh, it's not plugged in all the way, and you can actually make it that way.
Well, that's a good theory. Do we really know?
I don't think we really know. Over the holiday, I put together a machine that had a ASUS Strix 4090 overclocked edition.
Nice.
And what we did for that was bought a bridge off of Amazon that allowed you to make a 180. So it had two of those plugs on it. And that one would plug into the video card, and then you would plug your cable in behind the graphics card directly up into this solid bridge. And so far, that's worked great. It hasn't burned anything, and there hasn't been any power problems.
Let's cross our fingers. But let's come back to the 4070 Super Launch, because we haven't talked a lot about this. And I know a lot of folks like myself are saying, you know, the usual, is it time to upgrade? Is this the one? And the prices on these have been really attractive. But I think before we get there, let's take a look at the entire 40X series, because we haven't really done that. We did a nice podcast on the evolution of the video cards.
I think that one only went up to the 30 series. And the 40 series has been, it's been in the news a lot for the past 2 years. I hadn't realized this, but the RTX 4090 was released in October of 22.
Wow. It doesn't seem like it's been that long.
Yeah, it's been, what, about a year and a half. So in October 2022, that's when the RTX 4090 launched. And then 1 month later in November was when we had the RTX 4080 launch. And then there was also another card that came along at the same time, which was the RTX 4070, which then got unlaunched, or basically pulled from the market.
A lot of controversy there. A lot.
And that was something that we talked about in, what was it, episode 141?
141 is right. So yeah, back in, 11 of 22 is when that happened.
If you're curious about that, go ahead and check out the previous episode. We'll put a link down in the show notes. But we're basically going to go through the entire list. We can kind of start with the top dogs. NVIDIA is great about launching top dogs when they have a new chip.
Well, and I think that's a good point. And so maybe going launch by launch makes sense, because you did mention the 4090 and the 4080 and the 40 card that should not be mentioned were all released really very quickly right for the Christmas season in 2022. We don't like to talk about price so much, but I want to point out that the launch prices on these were abnormally high, jacking things up, maybe because of the chip shortage, which we've talked about ad nauseum in some other episodes. But $1,599 for the 4090, $1,199, so almost $1,200 and $1,600 were the price points for those, which was a real, real bone of contention when those first came out.
Yeah, well, we were in the chip shortage during that time. But what's happened, though, is that NVIDIA has figured out that the market can support those prices, so that's what they set them at. And it helps kind of with their supply and demand problem that they have and being able to produce them. And it really justifies having to produce so many of them. But we also have to consider that the RTX 4090 is being used in a lot of compute platforms. So it's not just gamers that are buying right. these things. And while mining is relatively dead, there are still people that are building servers, rack-mounted servers, and desktop workstations with multiples of those 4090s in there just so that they can do AI computing and
other rendering, that sort of stuff. Well, let's take a second, and since we're starting at the top, talk about what makes the 4090 the king right now. Maybe we can highlight some of the key specs here.
Okay. The one that I always look for is the number of GPU cores or CUDA cores. And this is 16,384. That's like a very...
That seems like a huge number, especially as I'm looking at the entire chart here. So we've built a really great chart. We'll figure out how to put that in the show notes as well so you can follow along at home.
Yeah. But 16,000 CUDA cores, which is amazing. Ray tracing cores is another feature of the RTX and, well, the RTX in general, so that we can do ray tracing. That is offset on its own core set. We have 128 of those. We have 512 Tensor cores, and these are the AI cores. These are the ones that will do the DLSS super sampling and right. frame generation, stuff like that. We have a total of 24 gigabytes of video RAM, 512 texture mapping units, which kind of mimics the Tensor cores. I think that's the same all the way across the board. And we have a total bandwidth of 1,000 gigabytes per second.
Wow. Yeah.
Big B.
Well, and of course, there's a cost to that because you're going to run 450 watts on that beast.
Yeah, and that's just the card. So you need to have a pretty beefy power supply. And then, of course, if you're doing multiples, then you have to multiply that out from there.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is very expensive. Now, maybe to compare that, the 4080, which was the only other option back in November, it's almost half that, isn't it? I'm just looking at the numbers.
It's almost divided exactly in half. So we have 9,728 CUDA cores. Of course, twice that is that 16 number. And then we have 76 ray tracing cores, which is basically a little over or a little less than half. The boost clock is something that we didn't really talk about.
Oh, yeah.
So the boost clock is pretty much the same all the way across the board, regardless of what 40 series it is. But for the 4090, it's 2.5 gigahertz. 4080 is 2.5 gigahertz, which is amazing. 16 gigabytes of video RAM. And then we have 304 tensor and texture mapping units for a total bandwidth of 7 gigabytes per second.
Okay, so not as bad as you start to go down, but up there where it counts and the shaders and the ray tracing and tensor, mm-hmm. is definitely a big difference. And the price didn't reflect that, I thought, very well with the 1200 versus 16.
It's still $1,200. It's really expensive card, but for most gamers out there, this is all the power you're going to need because you are going to be bottlenecked by your base system with the 4090 unless you use it in a specialized situation where you're offsetting everything to the card.
So let me take us down a slight detour, though. And at least in November 2022, would you have recommended a 4080 over a 30X, a 3080 or a 3090? Or would you today?
Today, no, I wouldn't recommend a 30 series card at all. When it got released, I would have still said, go get a 3090 and a 3090 Ti, one of those two cards.
Which would have been close to the same price?
Mm-hmm. Performance is a little bit less. Well, depends on who you ask and what benchmarks you're running, but the performance wasn't there, but the price and availability were.
Excellent. Okay, so that takes us through the initial launch, high end.
Yep.
So how much further do we have to wait?
Well, in not long, actually. So over the spring and summer of 2023 was when the rest of the 40 series got flushed out.
Right.
And that's normal for NVIDIA. They kind of do a release and then they wait a month, 2 months, and then they release another card. Kind of so that they're always in the news. But I also think that it has something to do with the manufacturing facilities and making sure that their board partners can get the cards out in numbers.
That makes sense.
So we have in January 2023, we have the 4070 Ti. Now, the 4070 Ti or even the Ti or the editions or the Ti editions are normally a second generation release.
That's right. So now you're foreshadowing the old podcast, but maybe we should just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
But the 4070 Ti is a huge abnormality and one of the relatively rare missteps for mm-hmm. NVIDIA.
And that was basically because they released a 4070 with the 4080, and then they pulled it because spec-wise, it was almost identical to the 4080. It was just a little bit less, and it really kind of, it was one of those situations where you could get at a more powerful 30 series car than you could get a 40 series, and the price would be the same.
So why would you do it? Of course you wouldn't. So
they pulled it. Well, we wait a couple of months, and then we have the 4070 Ti, which the whole Ti name is just weird. Spec-wise, it wasn't really all that impressive. Price-wise, though, it was $800. So
yeah,
we can't complain too much there.
So people flocked to that one, of course, as sort of a scaled-down 4080.
Now, what do you suppose happened in April 2023?
They would have released the next one down, the 4060, right?
No. They released the RTX 4070.
Out of order.
Yeah, so this is the 4070 the way that it should have been released.
Mm-hmm.
Or the naming, this should have been the 4060 and so on and so forth. Something like that. But we have some jostling around. So the comparison between the 4070 Ti and the 4070. 4070 Ti has 7,680 CUDA cores versus 5,888 on the 4070.
Right.
We have 60 ray tracing cores versus 46 ray tracing cores on the 4070. We have a very similar boost clock, 2.6 gigahertz on the 4070 Ti, but 2.4 gigahertz on the 4070.
Okay.
So they neutered it even more. And then we have tensor cores, 240 on the 4070 Ti and 184 on the regular 4070. Bandwidth, identical at 5 gigabytes per second. But we have a power difference of 285 versus 200.
Yeah, and a $200 price drop too, which made the 4070 pretty attractive. And I know at least I took a hard look at that, and we've talked about that before in the previous episodes. But as luck would have it, almost immediately, they released the 4060 Ti.
Yeah, which is also a bit of an abnormality, whatever that is.
Yeah.
So we have two editions of this, though. So we have the 4060 Ti 16 gigabyte edition, and then we have the regular 4060 Ti that only has 8 gigabytes.
But the 16 gig came out at the same time as, again, a regular RTX 4060 in July, which is, again, out of order. It's a little, I don't know.
Yeah. The release cycle for these was a little strange, and it makes it seem like they had something planned for this. But if we look at the 4060s, we basically have the 4060 Ti 16 versus the 8. Chip-wise, it's exactly the same. The only difference is the amount of frame buffer memory. And then we have the regular 4060 that has a cut-down chip at only 3,000 CUDA cores versus the 4,352 on the Ti edition. We have 34 ray tracing cores versus 24 on the regular 4060. And we have 136 texture mapping units versus 96 on the 4060, the really low-end card.
And again, another generation where I feel like the 4060 only exists for people that don't know better.
Yeah, and also the budget conscious folks.
Well, that's
true. Because this card was listed for $300.
Which is a pretty good price for a video card.
Yeah, and that's going to pick up the low end. And you'll be able to play just about anything on that card.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to match well with your low-end AMDs and low-end Intel cards. And it's going to be a lot smaller, so it'll fit in small form factor builds extremely well.
Well, I know the 4060s were really popular in laptops as well because of that. So one of the things I want to mention, though, about the 4060 series in general is the huge range of them really in a three-month pack. It's interesting to me. When you compare against the previous generation, mm-hmm. in general, you find the 4060 is faster than the 3070, just like the 3060 was faster than the 2070.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually pretty close, but that's kind of how it works. So there's a stair-stepping effect that also translated into the 4060s. But it didn't really translate well into the 4070s because of that weird 4070 tie.
Speaking of performance, we can go and look at my 4070 review, and we're just going to pull up a 3D Mark Firestrike Ultra.
Okay, that's a good place to start.
And so we have the RTX 4070 at 10,000 GPU score. So when you run 3D Mark, you are presented three scores. You have one score that normally goes to FutureMark, and that's what publishes for everybody, but it's comprised of three individual scores. So you have the GPU score, you have a CPU score, and then you have a combined score. I'm only concentrating on the GPU one because that's pretty portable. Anybody could run this benchmark with their card and be able to use that number to compare with what I have. So we have the 4070 at 10,000. We have the RTX 3080 Ti, previous generation top dog, well, almost top dog, at 12,000. So it's an extra 2,000 points. And then we jump down to the 3070 Ti, and it's only 9,000. So this 4070 kind of fits right in between those two, which really makes sense. It's a little bit faster than the 3070 from the previous generation, but it's not as fast as the 3080. And then if we go down to the RTX 2080 Super, that's only at 6,700.
So it's a huge drop, but that kind of makes sense because we're talking now two generations, and that doesn't even take into account the new technology that comes each generation.
No, of course. If we have like DLSS3 and the new ray tracing engine, the drivers have been improved considerably to handle the new hardware. It is a generational leap.
Okay. Well, let's jump forward then to the latest release, which is what got us here in the first place. January 2024, we have now the Supers.
We have three Supers, which somewhat mirrors the original launch of the 40 series, minus the unlaunch of one of the cards.
Okay.
So we have the RTX 4080 Super. This is the top dog of the new release coming out in January. It has a total of 10,000 CUDA cores. So it's almost to the 4090, but not quite. We have a total of 80 ray tracing cores, 16 gigabytes of RAM, and then 320 tensor and texture mapping cores. Boost clock is 2.5 gigahertz, which is very similar across the entire board. And it has a total bandwidth of 7 gigabytes per second.
Pretty nice.
And a price tag of $1,000.
I think we should come back to that. But first, let's finish introducing the Supers.
Okay. So next card, we have the 4070 Ti Super. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is.
So the difference here is that we have 8,448 CUDA cores, 66 ray tracing cores, 2.6 gigahertz boost clock, which is pretty respectable, 16 gigabytes of RAM, and 264 texture and tensor cores, with a total of 6.7 gigabytes per second bandwidth, and a price tag of
$799. That's important. We'll get there.
And then the last one is the one that we have here in the lab.
Yay, Gigabyte, thank you.
The RTX 4070 Super. We have a total of 7,000 CUDA cores, which is actually really good. And 2.4 gigahertz boost clock, 12 gigabytes of RAM. That's really the only thing that makes this card not that great, but it matches a lot of the other 4070s. 224 texture and tensor cores with 5 gigabytes of bandwidth, which is really kind of the same as the previous 4070s. The price tag there, $600.
$600. And this is why I wanted to stop to talk about price, because especially if you're looking at our chart, and I hope you are, You're going to see an interesting effect here, starting with the 4080 Super. If you compare the 4080 Super to the previous generation 4080, you're seeing a slight increase in performance, in some areas more than a slight bit, but $99 versus $1,100. So in effect,
it's $200 cheaper and much faster.
Right. Now let's do the same thing with the 4070 Super versus, and the 4070 Ti Super. Let's start with the Ti.
Yeah,
versus the regular 4070 Ti. Exact same MSRP. The 4070 Super, better substantially across the board. And if you look at the 4070 Super versus the 4070, you're going to see the same thing again. $599 versus $599, again, MSRP. You might do better. Mm-hmm. But the 4070 Super, substantially better than the 4070. So what I think we're seeing here, Dennis, is the Supers haven't just come in to create a gap between the regular 4080 and the 4090, for example. Mm-hmm. In effect, the Supers have fired the previous cards across the board. It's a course correction for that earlier mislaunch.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, we have the same MSRP. We have a one-year gap between the releases of these cards. You know, we have the unlaunched, which was a bit embarrassing. And now all of a sudden we have the tie and the super, which pulls in all of their buzzwords.
Right.
It kind of pulls everything together. Hopefully, you know, if they do a 50 series, maybe they will kind of learn from this and kind of take that project management retrospective.
Well, if we look at the release calendar and we were to look into our crystal balls, it makes sense that we might see a 5090, assuming that that is where the next generation is, in October. But
that follows their cadence, but time will tell.
Time will tell, and they have in the past skipped that. But what I want to make sure that you're seeing from our chart is that you shouldn't be buying a non-super card where a super card exists, because there's no reason to do so. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the gap between the releases indicates that NVIDIA knew this. They gave the resellers and the manufacturers time to clear out their old stock of 4080s and 4070s before they put out the supers. They could course correct. They could fire those old cards. The good news is if you're on the market and you can find one of those cards, they're probably going to be fire selling them for the next couple of months. So keep your guys out. If you don't need a super, you might be able to pick up a regular 4070 or 4070 Ti or even a 4080 at a discounted price. So all that being said, Dennis, people are going to ask, because they always ask, is it time to buy a video card? Should I buy a 4070 video card? And if so, which one?
Yes, and all of them. No, of course, that's the enthusiast talking. It's like you always buy the latest and greatest. But for a gamer, a regular gamer, gamer on a budget, whatever, we like to recommend a two-generation gap.
Right.
So for instance, right now I am running a 2080 Ti Kingpin Edition card in my main rig. And I don't game as much as I probably should, and it works perfectly. So I'm due for an upgrade, but I'm not hurting for that upgrade yet because I bought high. But for me, I have also been testing some of the 40 series cards, and I see the massive improvement in performance over my high-end card that I've been running for years and years and years. And I'm like, yeah, it's time to get an upgrade. Now, if I had a 30 series, definitely no, because that's really just one generation. It doesn't matter where you are in there. You could have the 3080, 3080 Ti. But if you're going to be upgrading, you don't want to upgrade to like a 4060 or a 4070. You want to stay within that range. So you're going to be looking at a 4080 Super or 4080 Ti Super, one of those cards. And the performance gain there is not going to be justified by the price. You're going to be spending a lot of money just to get a few extra frames, and you may not actually notice it. But if you had a 2070, for instance.
Which I do, a 2070 Super.
Definitely upgrading to any of the 4070s is going to be a massive performance gain. And you're going to get the new technology, the new DLSS, the new ray tracing. It's considerably more efficient. And I've noticed it's not as hot either, despite the fact that they draw 400, 300 watts of power.
Well, I think the 4070 Supers, at least, are much cooler in general. It's a great price point if you're looking to upgrade. If you're on the fence, then I would wait maybe for that October and see what the next generation looks like before you take the plunge.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS or follow us on Twitter. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2024. Thanks for listening.